Hello and welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and the show is Creating a Vibrant Life, where we bring you guests and topics of utmost interest to your health so that you can take control, take charge, and be in your best health ever. And today, I have with me Dr. Thomas O'Brien. This is part two of our gluten. Is it a fad, or is there something really here to it? And Dr. Thomas O'Brien was here last week's show, and we introduced the concept of celiac disease and gluten intolerance and talked about how much of a problem it is and all the different widespread systems that it can affect. So I highly recommend, if you haven't heard that one yet, that you go back and listen to the replay. But for now, let me reintroduce Dr. Thomas O'Brien. He's an internationally recognized speaker and workshop leader specializing in gluten sensitivity and celiac disease, and he considers himself the Sherlock Holmes for chronic disease and metabolic disorder. And he is on the teaching faculty at the Institute of Functional Medicine, the National University of Sciences, and the International and American Association of Clinical Nutritionists. And that's how I first heard him speak at recordings of a conference about 8 years ago. And I was informed last week that that was actually his very first talk on the topic and really presenting the research he'd found on the topic of gluten intolerance and how it affects our health. And first time he introduced that to other doctors. And now he's been on a mission. He travels around the world teaching this to other doctors and also to the lay public to alert people as to the widespread problems that gluten can have. So last week we talked about, you know, what gluten is and where it's found. And this week we are going to continue with how it affects the lining of your gut and how long that takes to repair. And then how do you do the testing? What are the best tests? What are the tests to watch out for, and how to really understand and know if you too have gluten intolerance, and then we'll go into what's the cure? Is there a cure? So thank you so much for being here, and welcome back.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, we had such a lively and engaging conversation last time that I was really sorry to have to stop when the end of the show came. So I'm excited to get into, first of all, the widespread manifestations, how it affects the gut and the gut lining, because many people will feel like, well, I don't have the gut problems anymore, or I don't have gut problems. Can it be affecting the gut even if people don't have gut problems? What does it really do to the lining of your intestine?
Sure. Okay. Well, first, for every person that has gut symptoms, there are 8 people that don't. And there are a number of studies that show that the ratio is 8 to 1. Sometimes some studies say 7 to 1, but the most common is 8 to 1. For every one that has gut symptoms, 8 don't. So having gut symptoms is not necessary to consider that maybe I have sensitivity to gluten. If you use that as your criteria, you're going to miss 7 out of every 8. So it's an important criteria, but it's not the deal breaker. Well, in other words, oh, my gut's fine. I eat bread, my tummy feels fine, so I don't have a problem. No, that's not true. Don't think that way. Mm-hmm. So what happens? Well, your intestines, your GI tract is a tube. It goes from the mouth to the other end. It's one big long tube. Inside the abdomen, it's about 20-some feet all twisted around in there, this long tube. The inside of the tube is lined with shag carpeting. And over here, this shag absorbs calcium, this shag absorbs vitamin C, this shag absorbs proteins, these other shags absorb good fats, all the shags absorb different nutrients. And that's how we get the vitamins and minerals from the food we eat. You eat the food, the digestive enzymes chop it down into little pieces inside the tube, and then those little pieces go through the walls of the tube into the bloodstream, and now it's inside your body, and now your body uses those vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients to make new bone tissue, new cells, new brain cells, new heart cells. That's how we get all of our nutrients. Well, when you have celiac disease, your shags wear down and you get Berber. And if you've got Berber, you don't absorb calcium. You get osteoporosis. You don't absorb the B vitamins. You get problems with your cycles or in getting pregnant. You don't absorb magnesium, you get cramps in your muscles or heart palpitations. You don't absorb zinc, you get recurrent colds. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. That with malabsorption, when you can't absorb because your shags are worn down and you've got Berber instead of shag carpeting, there's so many ways that can show in your body. So that's the damage that occurs. And the wearing down occurs because of a fire in the cells. Every disease, every degenerative disease, is a disease of inflammation at the cell level. Inside the cell, there's a fire going on. And if it's a, just depends, is it a kidney cell or a pancreas cell? Is it a bone cell or a brain cell? That determines where the symptoms eventually occur when you kill off enough cells. But it's always a fire. So the first rule of thumb, when you want to be healthier, stop throwing gasoline on the fire. Well, what's the gasoline? I don't know. Let's find out. It might be gluten. It might be gluten. It might be the ding-dongs that you're eating. You know, it could be the Coca-Cola. I mean, there's so many things it could be. But a very common one for a large percentage of people is gluten that's found in wheat, rye, and barley.
So when this damage happens then to the gut, is it only in people that have true celiac disease, or does this happen in general when people eat gluten, the damage to the gut?
Right. That's a really good question. And it can happen. It certainly happens in people that have celiac disease. That's the mechanism of celiac disease. But we find that it also happens in people that have non-celiac gluten sensitivity. They still can have an inflammation in their gut. They may have gut symptoms. They may have irritable bowel syndrome. They may or they may not. It may manifest only in their cardiovascular system, and they get their heartbeats not regular. They get a fluttering heart. Or it may manifest only in their brain, and they get fuzzy thinking, or they get headaches, or it may manifest only in their kidneys, and they get recurrent kidney infections or bladder infections. But it may manifest in their gut or any other tissue of their body.
Okay. So if it happens in their gut, a lot of people will go off of gluten, and they feel better, but they still have some lingering problems. Can that be related to the gut needing time to repair?
Yes, it certainly can. It takes at least a year, sometimes 2 years, for the shags to heal and come back. However, even when the shags come back 2 years on a gluten-free diet, only 8% of those people with the shags that have healed, only 8% of them, those shags are completely normal. The rest of them still have a problem called intestinal permeability, that it takes a long time for the gut to heal, and the more comprehensive you are or your doctor is in helping your gut to heal, so the first thing you do, you got to stop throwing gasoline in the fire.
Right.
Obviously, you have to do that.
Obviously, yeah.
Now, when you do that, you've got the next step is to start taking some extra vitamins and minerals to help your body rebuild the tissue that's been damaged. That's a missing link that's not talked about very much at all. And the result is people still suffer for years. They feel a little bit better, but, you know, they're not feeling like $1 million yet. And my opinion is you do all this effort to go on this type of eating style that's a bit of a nuisance until you learn how to do it. It's a real pain in the butt sometimes when you're out traveling and stuff to do it. But you learn how to do it. You accommodate, and then you can get it down really well. But you go through all of this, you should feel like $1 million. So if you're on a gluten-free diet and you don't feel like $1 million, you need to ask your doctor why. How come I don't have vibrant energy? How come I'm not waking up alive and alert and ready to take the day and my energy lasts all day long? How come I still get headaches once in a while? That there's something missing. Going on a gluten-free diet is just the first step in the healing process. It's not the final step.
Okay. So step one is the gluten-free diet. So step two, is that repairing the gut?
Yes. Step two is repairing the damage in the intestines. So that damage has to be identified. Your doctor has to identify it and then start working to repair it.
So how do we identify it? Are there tests that we can do to find that out?
There are. There's a blood test that's extremely accurate. There's a laboratory called Cyrex Labs, C-Y-R-E-X, CyrexLabs.com. And they have a blood test for intestinal permeability that looks to see the mechanisms. Are there any of these mechanisms going on that chew up the gut, that destroy the gut tissue? and they're called antibodies. And if you have antibodies to your gut tissue, then we know the immune system is attacking your own tissue, and then you have to address that. So you get the measure first of what's going on, then you start applying the nutritional principles to heal the intestinal damage. Then you go back and recheck 3 months or 6 months later to make sure you've healed the gut. Now these people start feeling so much better.
Okay. And so these tests are accurate. It's not like some of the other tests.
Oh, they're extremely accurate. Matter of fact, they're so accurate, the laboratory does each test twice at no extra charge. If there's any discrepancy between the two tests, they do it a third time to make sure they're accurate.
Good. And you've seen results. You've seen get somebody do it, do the protocols to repair, and then retest them at the end of it.
Oh, yes. It's really wonderful to see. I just was in London 2 weeks ago teaching, and I showed a case study there of a 13-year-old girl. And after going through 3 bouts of antibiotics for sinus infections, she developed fatigue. And the fatigue got worse and worse and worse until she was unable to go to school. She was almost unable to get out of bed. She went to a number of doctors, specialists, who they said it was in her head. It was just all in her head. And this was a young, vibrant girl, and all of a sudden she was going downhill with her energy level. She finally gets to a molecular psychiatrist. That's a specialist, a psychiatrist who looks at, what about, what's your diet like? I mean, a psychiatrist looks at detail about the blood chemistry and how the diet may affect the blood chemistry. And they're very rare to find a molecular psychiatrist.
Yeah. I was thinking something different. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, so he ran a battery of tests, and he ran the tests and showed that she had intestinal permeability, that's the damage in the intestines, and that she had these bugs in her bloodstream, they're called lipopolysaccharides, because her intestines were just damaged, and that they weren't acting as a good wall to keep out some of the garbage that's in our food. You know, all the food we eat's got some bacteria on it. And it's the job of the immune system in the intestines to stop that bacteria from getting into the bloodstream. Well, she had damage to her intestinal lining, the shags, so she had this bacteria in her bloodstream. So the first thing this doctor did, put her on a gluten-free, dairy-free diet, first thing. And then he gave her a bunch of vitamins and minerals, and for 3 months there was no change whatsoever. She couldn't get out of bed. She was in a wheelchair. She couldn't go to school.
Oh, wow.
But she stayed with it for 3 months, and they showed after 3 months that the blood tests showed that she was getting a little bit better. She didn't have as many of the antibodies to the bugs in her bloodstream. She still had too many, but not as much as before. So the doctor said, stay with this. You just stay with this. She comes back in 6 weeks later. She's out of the wheelchair. She's walking. She's happy.
Wow.
She can be up walking for a couple hours at a time before she fatigues, but there's definitely a change. The doctor says, stay with this. He does another blood test, shows she's getting a little bit better. The bottom line, it took 2 years.
Two years
of a gluten-free, dairy-free diet, taking a number of vitamins and minerals to where she was back to full recovery. Her blood tests were normal. She was back in school playing volleyball, a happy, productive gal who was scoring over 80% in all of her classes, so her brain was working good again. And it was the damage to the intestines from the antibiotics that caused this whole problem for her. But it took 2 years. And sometimes I tell doctors, you just have to look the patient in the eye and say, stay the course. Stay the course.
Yes.
Be patient. And because patients, you know, everybody wants to be well yesterday. And there's nothing wrong with that. If I don't feel good, I want to be well yesterday. But sometimes it just takes a while for your body to turn around. Once you identify the problem, if you're clear what the problem is, you stay with the protocol.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, a couple of things you mentioned in that I want to bring to the attention and discuss a little bit. You mentioned he put her on a gluten-free and dairy-free diet. So I want to talk about what's the relationship there, and something that we alluded to last week but didn't get to talk about was the cross-reactivity. So I'd love to talk a little bit about that.
Good. Okay. Foods have proteins in it. Foods have proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. And proteins are made up of building blocks. They're called amino acids. And you put different building blocks together, and you know, that's how you get different proteins. They're all made up of the same amino acids, but you have four of this one, two of this one, nine of this one, and the order they're in determines what type of protein it is and how our bodies can use it. When the body is allergic to something, when the body's making antibodies to some food, it's making antibodies to the amino acid structures of the proteins. And I'm going to refer to it as AABCD. You know, it's hundreds of amino acids long, so there's 100 letters or more, but let's just say AABCD. So your body is making antibodies to wheat, and that's the AABCD amino acids. Well, those amino acid structures, we know that for something called cross-reactivity, where the body thinks one food is similar or the same as another food, if you have six of these amino acids in the same sequence, AABCD, or if the whole amino acid structure is more than 35% similar to the original thing that you're allergic to, then the body can say, hey, I'm still getting wheat. So, for example, dairy cross-reacts with wheat. What that means is that if you have antibodies to wheat, the antibodies, your body may think, and you eat dairy, your body may think that you're still eating wheat because the cross-reactivity is similar enough to where you start making antibodies to dairy. And so if you take wheat out of your diet, but you're still eating dairy, your body may think you're still eating wheat. That's called cross-reactivity. And the cross-reactive foods with gluten are all dairy, coffee, sorry, but true, coffee, and yeast.
Too bad.
Yeah, too bad. Right. So not everybody who has gluten sensitivity has a problem with coffee. Not everybody does. Not that many, actually. Maybe 1 out of 10, 1 out of 8. I'm not sure the exact number, but it's not that many. But if you are a person that has a sensitivity to coffee and you don't know it because you feel fine when you drink coffee, but your body's making antibodies to coffee, if you're one of those people and you stop gluten, your body will think you're still eating gluten. And you still make the gluten antibodies and you still get the same type of damage to your intestines and to the rest of your body depending on your genetic weakness.
Mm-hmm. So when these show up, so my understanding of this cross-reactivity, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that somebody could be tested for antibodies and find out they have gluten antibodies, but they don't have dairy. So they continue to eat dairy. But my understanding was then the gluten antibodies are going to attack the dairy even though they don't have dairy antibodies. Is that correct?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm not familiar with the cross-reactivity of gluten with dairy. I'm familiar with a cross-reactivity of dairy with gluten, but not the other way. So if you do the right tests and your immune system says, no, there's no problem with dairy, and if you check comprehensively for that, there's no problem. It's okay to have dairy. But we find about 50% of the people that have a sensitivity to gluten also have a sensitivity to dairy, about 50% of them.
Okay. And so it'll create the same reactivity problem.
It'll create the same reactivity problem with gluten, even though you're not eating gluten anymore, if you're eating dairy and you have that sensitivity to dairy.
Okay. All right. So is this something that can be tested? I mean, because I know
there's a lot of
antibody tests for food allergies, and I haven't found any that I really feel are particularly accurate. So
your immune system is like the armed forces of your body, and you've got an army, an air force, a marines, a coast guard, a navy. You've got IgA, IgG, IgM, IgE. There's different ways that the immune system can respond to protect you. The immune system's job is to protect us, and if you look for IgG antibodies and there's no IgG antibodies, the misconception has been to say, well, good, I'm fine with that food because the blood test was negative. Well, what the blood test actually showed was that the Navy wasn't called out that day. The Navy's at rest, but maybe it's the Air Force that's having a problem. Maybe it's IgA. That there's no one marker of the immune system that's comprehensive enough to be conclusive. There are some that are more likely than others, but there's different branches to the armed forces. That's why there's a test for cross-reactivity that looks at IgA, IgG, and IgM. And that's with Cyrex Labs, and they look for the cross-reactive foods, looking at all three antibodies, Army, Air Force, Navy. You know, that it's much more comprehensive. You're much more likely of discovering a problem, identifying a problem, if it's there.
Got it. Okay. So then the other question that I had was, you mentioned last time, we'll test people for it. Well, obviously, one of the ways to just deal with the situation is to just take the gluten out and see. But a lot of people want proof before they go through it. I went through that in my own family. I said to my husband, I really think my son, you know, I think he has a gluten problem. We need to take him off gluten. And he wasn't eating that much gluten. We never did that in our family. And he was like, no, I'm not taking off gluten unless you prove it to me. So I ran the stool test on both of them, and they both showed up. So then he was like, okay, I guess both of us have to stop eating gluten. But the point is, there's a lot of different tests out there. So I want to address the standard test that's done for celiac disease, like that most doctors will do and say, and a lot of people get false negatives on the stool test, and then I know Cyrex Labs has one and whatever other ones you know about. So I'd love to talk about that
good.
And just like get people an idea of what's available.
Okay. There's something called the conundrum of gluten sensitivity, the conundrum of gluten sensitivity. That's when people go in, they get a test, am I sensitive to wheat? It comes back negative, but they know they always feel better if they don't eat wheat. So what's wrong with that? Well, it's the test.
Right.
The test is looking at the Air Force. You know, the test checked the Air Force. It didn't check the Army. So it wasn't comprehensive enough. The bottom line is body language never lies. If your body says, I don't feel good, then that's the bottom line. Now, the problem is sometimes the body doesn't talk in a language that we hear, so it says, I'm fine, and you're really not, that you can't feel the underlying mechanisms until they get really bad. But if it says there's a problem here, then it's unlikely that it's a false positive, very unlikely. It's possible, but it's unlikely. It's the false negatives that cause the conundrum.
Right.
The false negatives. So what do you do in a situation like that? Well, Cyrex Labs came out with a new test about a little over a year ago. The problem in looking for allergies or sensitivities to wheat is that everybody looks at one of the peptides. It's called alpha-gliadin. You eat this protein, and the protein is made up of a whole lot of little pieces that our digestive systems are supposed to break it down into tiny little bricks of a brick wall, if you will. Think of a protein like a brick wall. Digestion is taking the mortar off of the bricks, and then each brick is absorbed into the bloodstream, then your body uses it to make new tissue. That's how we use proteins. But somebody took a sledgehammer to the brick wall and broke it into a number of pieces. You got a 33-brick piece, a 17-brick piece, a 9-brick piece, all these pieces. That's what happens with gluten when the digestive system can't break it down properly. You get all these big clumps. Well, every laboratory in the country checks one clump. It's a 33-brick clump called gliadin. It's the most dominant one that people can have a reaction to. About 50% of the people have a reaction to it. But the other 50% don't. They're reacting to other clumps. But no lab was ever checking other clumps. And yet the research papers tell us there are over 60 different peptides of gluten, pieces of the wall, that can stimulate an immune response. Over 60. Why are we checking only one? No one could ever answer that question.
Right.
Well, we just don't. And you know, there's no answer. So what happened was that there'd be a conundrum. You'd do a blood test. It would come back negative because they're only looking at one clump. And then you go on a gluten-free diet anyway, and you feel better. But the blood test was negative. That's why. Cyrex Labs came out with a blood test that looks at multiple different antibodies, Army, Air Force, Marines. And they look at the top 10 clumps instead of just one. The top 10 peptides that one may have an allergic reaction to or an immune reaction to. Thus, you don't get false negatives anymore. So people finally are getting the evidence that, yep, my immune system's reacting to this. Then what's so good about it is that you've got this test that you can go back and check 3 months, 6 months later to see, have I been successful in eliminating gluten? Has my immune system calmed down? Because it's the antibodies that cause all the tissue damage. Has my immune system calmed down? And if it hasn't calmed down, then you have to look further into cross-reactive foods.
Okay. So when it calms down, so are you expecting that after some months you'll see the antibodies go down or go away?
Yes. They go down. they go down. If they don't go down, the doc's done something incomplete. You have to do a little more work.
Okay. Do they ever go away? My understanding was they never go away. You always have to watch
them. No, they do go away. They do go away, but they'll rear their ugly head and come right back if you ever get exposed again.
Right, because of those memory B cells you talked about last week.
Right, right. I know there's so much to talk about, and I know about the time, and we only have a lot of time. I wish we could talk about a whole lot more.
I do, too. I mean, really, I'd like to go into more details. So the cross-reactivity, so that's the other way. I wanted to ask you quickly, because I've been using the stool test from Intero Labs for a really long time, and that seems to be really accurate. In fact, I would say that 90% of the people that I send that I think have the problem that show up, so it's pretty high, maybe even 98%. Do you want to comment on it? They only test IgA, though, but they test it in the intestinal area, and they say, you know, even if you go on a gluten-free diet, you'll still see those IgAs being there because they're ready and waiting to, you know, attack the next time something comes through. So could you comment on that?
Yes, the IgAs, IgA antibodies in the stool are normal. It's normal for them to be there. It's our body's way of protecting us. So the problem, if it is a problem with the stool test, is how you define credible. If you define credible as it's going to come back positive pretty often the way a clinician thinks it might, and then the patient's going to say, oh, darn, okay, I guess I'll do this, and then they get better, it's very credible. Mm-hmm. But if you define credible as reproducible in the literature so that you can go to your local hospital and say, I'd like to include this test in our hospital here, array of tests that we do, there's no papers that show how it works or that confirms that it works. It's not credible scientifically at all. It's very credible clinically. So it's up to the clinician to decide what type of test they want to do.
Okay. So if somebody's on a budget and they just want to, you know, quick and easy proof that they've got the problem, it's probably a good test to go with because they want a much more accurate assessment and something that would hold weight with their doctor. They should go with the blood, the 10 peptide blood.
That's a good way of saying it, yes.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. And then we're just about out of time. So what we're going to do is we're going to close right here. There are a few other quick questions that I have. And we're going to close the show right now. And then if you hang out and listen in for a little bit longer, or go back to the recording, afterwards, because the show will cut off, then you can hear the rest of our conversation because I want to really have a nice close. Dr. Tom is at thedr.com. He's got upcoming events. You can click on the events button on his website. He's coming to Austin, and actually he will be in Austin today. And San Antonio as well. I think that was probably yesterday. But you'll get lots of information there. He's got some great DVDs that go into a lot more detail. And I so appreciate you being here. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Nice. Great. So we're just going to continue for those who are coming back and listening to the recording. This is some extra stuff. I just want to wrap it up. What would you say, what's your best advice that you could give to somebody who's listening to this, who's thinking, you know what, maybe I really do have a gluten problem, what's the first step they should take?
Now I can say with great confidence, get the test done, because the tests are accurate. And you can't base your health care on how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
The body will always compensate every way it can so that you can function. So you're going to feel fine until you cross a threshold and the body can't compensate anymore.
Right.
So you want to identify the underlying mechanisms that are causing the problem before they cause so much tissue damage the symptoms are obvious. Nobody gets Alzheimer's in their 60s or 70s. You get Alzheimer's in your 20s and 30s. The mechanism killing off the brain cells has already begun. And it just takes quite a few years to kill off enough brain cells and before you can't function. But in that time, you get in your 40s, and someone says, I'm getting old. I can't remember the way I used to. Ha ha.
Mm.
No. Mm. 40s is not old to where your brain's not supposed to be working sharp. There's something going on. So we've learned to not pay attention to how we feel, to kind of suppress it. If there's any message, it's get the test. Get the test done. And now there are accurate tests. Cyrex Labs is great. It's such a great tool for our doctors to be using. It's CYREX, CyrexLabs.com. And if your doctor's not currently using those tests, print out some information from that website and take it to them and say, please look into this, because these tests seem to be quite remarkable. My website, there's a number of articles that you can download. There's interviews there that you can download. Take them to your doctor and say, you know, please read this or please listen to this. So listen to this interview, this link, send it to your doctor, so that they will be exposed to this information and then just explore it a little bit. And they'll find that it's very rational, very scientific. Hundreds of studies are listed supporting these tests and how they're done, literally hundreds of studies.
Right.
So your doctors can embrace this. Get the test done, find out what's going on, embrace the principles to correct it, then you recheck to make sure. Don't avoid rechecking. Some people say, oh, I feel fine now, so I'm not going to recheck because, you know, save the money. I feel fine. My headaches are gone. No, you need to recheck because it can still be causing lots of tissue damage that you won't know about until the symptoms are so bad.
So say someone decides to go on a, they decide, I don't want to get the testing done. I disagreed. I'll just go on a gluten-free diet for the rest of my life, and that's that. What's the risk of them not going back and then retesting or testing in the first place? I mean, I'm a perfect example of that. I had gluten problems, and I knew I had gluten problems. I've given it up. I just don't touch the stuff, but I've never gotten tested.
Yeah. In a future show, perhaps we'll go into the autoimmune cascades that develop as a result of food sensitivities. And what really takes us down in the end with whatever disease we get is our immune system attacking our organs.
Right.
Whether it's your liver, your heart, your kidneys, autoimmune disease, cardiovascular disease, you're going to see a lot of information on this coming this year. This is the momentum year. Cardiovascular disease is an autoimmune disease at its initiation, and it's fueled by the immune system. And so that means autoimmunity is the number one cause of morbidity and mortality in the industrialized world. Number one cause of getting sick and dying is the immune system attacking your own tissue, whether it's your blood vessels or your liver, your heart, or your brain. You don't feel when your blood vessels are being attacked. You don't feel when your brain cells, when you've got ganglioside antibodies, until they're so bad you start getting some numbness and tingling a little bit once in a while. You think, oh, it's a little bit of numbness, no big deal.
No, it means
your nervous system's being attacked and your nerves are being destroyed. And it's an accumulative process. So you don't feel the autoimmune mechanism that's attacking you. You just don't feel it until there's so much tissue damage you can't tell anymore. When you go off gluten, the obvious symptoms that were the initial reason to explore this go away, your headaches or something like that. But the underlying mechanisms causing the autoimmune cascades may not go away because there may be cross-reactives or there may be intestinal permeability. There may be other factors that need to be addressed, and you just don't know because you don't feel it. So we are living in a state of not knowing the mechanisms that are going on that are slowly destroying us.
Okay.
That's why you want to do the test.
When you say do the test, then, you don't mean just do the gluten antibodies. You mean to do the whole test, the cross-reactivity, the gluten antibodies, the whole 10 peptides, plus the cross-reactivities.
The intestinal permeability,
the
gluten peptides, and the cross-reactivity.
Right.
Yes.
So that's what you mean by get tested, because that's the risk you run if you just assume, well, I have the gluten antibodies, I'm going to leave them, and you don't
Correct.
Look at the others. You may continue to be eating cross-reactive foods, plus you might be having an issue with intestinal permeability that you need to really directly address.
Correct. Later
okay,
on this
good.
Year, it won't be too long, and perhaps we'll have a show on this, there's an entire world coming out called predictive antibodies. And you're going to be able to identify antibodies to your heart, your lungs, your brain, your liver, your kidneys, your bone, before you have any symptoms. That's when the pedal hits the metal in terms of preventive care. And so once that type of screening is available, what you're going to find is that you're identifying conditions for people years and years before they have symptoms. And that's going to be the marker that you use to determine, am I being successful in my protocols.
Yeah, I've heard, I mean, is that Dr. Bojani's work?
Yes.
Is that, yeah, I just can't wait for that.
Bojani,
yes. Bojani,
yes.
he speaks with a very heavy accent, but he's brilliant.
Yes.
So that's awesome. And then is that going to be available through Cyrix Labs?
Yes.
Great.
Yes, it is.
Wait for that. So my other question that came up with, I would love to hear you just really briefly speak about the gluten and thyroid connection, because I see in so many of much of my audience is having thyroid issues, and in particular that they're not even that are thyroid issues that are not being properly diagnosed, and we'll run antibody tests and find out that they have raging antibodies against their thyroid. And I know I've heard you speak about the cross reactivity between gluten antibodies and thyroid, but I'd love to address real briefly that, but what's the hope for people? Do you think that there's hope for those people who have been diagnosed with Hashimoto's or autoimmune thyroid or have those, that they can recover from that?
Yes, of course. In a brief. We have many patients reversing, and there's many articles in the medical literature reversing the antibodies to Hashimoto's on a gluten-free diet. You just have to go to PubMed and type in Hashimoto's thyroiditis and celiac disease and just start reading some of the articles. And there are many case studies of the antibodies going down until they're undetectable or being reduced on a gluten-free diet. So you stop attacking your thyroid. When the immune system stops attacking the thyroid, you stop the inflammation because you're not throwing gasoline in the fire anymore, and then the thyroid starts to rebuild itself. And many patients have found, here's a great one. They just published a study in January of this year where they showed celiac patients who have Hashimoto's thyroiditis required 49% more medication than Hashimoto's thyroiditis patients without celiac disease. And they did very extensive measuring to make sure they applied the dosages for the medication by body weight, and the goal was to get the TSH down to a normal number. And they found that the celiac patients required 49% more medication. When they put them on a gluten-free diet, within 11 months, those celiac patients' requirements for medication dropped down to the same levels as those that don't have celiac. Mm. So they were able to reduce their medication needs by 49% on a gluten-free diet because the thyroid starts working a little bit better. That was a really interesting study. And there are other studies that talk about eliminating the antibodies. They just go away. You stop attacking your thyroid.
I've seen it happen. I've done patients where, probably around that time, 12 months later, we just did sequential tests and antibodies are gone. The thyroid medication was, reduced or eliminated. And yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, well, we are out of time, and maybe we could do a whole show on the autoimmune interrelationship between.
Yes, that'd be fine. Look forward to
that. That would be great. Well, thank you so very much for being here, and thank you all for listening. I hope you have just found this as enlightening and hopeful as I have. I do the testing, the Cyrix Labs. I'm set up to do that. So if anybody is considering, coming in for a consultation, we do remote long-distance consultations as well as in office, and we can run those panels for you. Just go to drritamarie.com and look for the thing that says set up a consultation. And Dr. Tom O'Brien, we've been speaking to Dr. Tom O'Brien. He is an amazing wealth of information on the topic of gluten. We've learned a tremendous amount. And would you reiterate for everybody how to get to your website?
Yes, the website is www.thedr.com, thedoctor.com. And when you go there, you'll find there are DVDs that talk about this. There's some there for the general public with a lot of visuals and explanations, and then there are some that are for healthcare practitioners. I mean, anyone can order whatever they like. Some are more technical than others, and there's lots of interviews and lots of articles so that people can get a handle on how to approach this.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio, the Vibrant Health Solutions with Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, www.drritamarie.com. Thank you so much for being here. Bye-bye.